And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. It's time for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. And right off the bat, we're doing a little homage here to Sly Stone, who we lost yesterday, one of the greatest musicians of all time.
Greatest ever, especially in the late 60s and early 70s. He's set the bar for so many groups.
I know.
And he was just absolutely fantastic. And of course, he lit it up at Woodstock.
Oh yeah, that's like an infamous. Oh my gosh!
Absolutely, and as we go through the show and go into commercial and coming back, Meg and I have got a list.
We've got a list of songs.
Sly and the Family Stone greatest hits. Yep. Old Sly, may he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. And sadly, I guess his demise towards the end of his life was not good.
He had a rough time at the very end of his life.
There's a documentary out that I think the artist's name is Quest Cloud, I think, or somebody that's on Netflix now. So I'm going to watch that because
I just heard about it.
I
haven't seen it yet either.
I haven't seen it.
I look forward to it. But yeah, he had a rough time of it. But boy, he really was on top of the world back in the good old days.
He's just a hair before my time. However, I grew up with his music because songs like Hot Fun in the Summertime, remember that one? Dance to the Music, and we played that all the time. Whenever he had the band parties in college and stuff, and I Want to Take You Higher, that's the one from Woodstock.
That's
the classic.
That's the one that really brought him into notoriety where people were.
And his fringed vests and all that. The way that he dressed was like really cool.
Absolutely.
And so it was interesting because they were doing a tribute to him last night. And they were talking about, he really opened the doors for artists like Prince.
Yes.
And also Michael Jackson.
That's exactly right.
And so it's interesting to think about that because he was really way ahead of his time in terms of combining rock and funk and jazz and all the different styles of music to sort of create this own, when you think about Dance to the Music, was its own sound, really.
Yeah. And his first album was a big flop.
Yes, that's what I've heard.
It was a big flop. And so he said, I'm going to make this music a little different. He said, my first album, it was a little complex. I'm going to make it a little simpler. And the rest is history.
Right. So we're speaking of Sly Stone, with Sly and the Family Stone, they were just a great band.
Exactly. Anyway, thanks for playing that music.
You got it. Mike, whatever you want, I am here to serve.
And I promise you we're going to talk a little gardening here before the day is over.
And we are going to be talking about gardening today, especially summer gardening. So if you have a question, I know y'all have been waiting. We had tons of questions last week. We'll do our best to get to all of them. Text it in at 850-437-1620.
Love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Really enjoy your texts. As we always do, it seems like we always do, we start out with the weather. And it looks like historically, and y'all help me with my memory here, June has generally been a very dry month.
I know. This seems unusual to me to have all this rain.
I think this is unusual.
Okay.
I really do. And that just affects what we do in the yard, a vegetable garden and all of that. It's hot. I mean, it's the way it's supposed to be in June. It's not a problem. But there's things we can do and things we can't do. And maybe we ought to start out with a few of the things we can't do.
That's probably good for someone like me.
I hear you. What we should not do.
There you go. I like the should not list.
If your lawn is wet from the thunderstorm, don't try to mow it. When we had our little mowing show a couple of weeks ago, we talked about that. But what you want to do is to just have to wait till it dries out. And, of course, when is that going to be? Because we seem to be getting these storms every day. So maybe I'm just going to keep an eye out and just have that lawnmower ready to go. and hit it as soon as we have a little dry spell, and we can mow the lawn. Because what'll happen is that wet grass will clump up and just make a mess. You just don't want to do that.
It's kind of tricky lately, though, because even yesterday or the last 2 days, I would have this kind of almost like a little downpour, and then it would clear, and it'd be sunny about 5 minutes later.
Oh, exactly.
It was so strange. Right. Some of my plants are confused.
Right. Yeah. And I'm looking at the radar here also.
Yeah,
and
we've got
and
stuff
it looks
around
like there's
us.
A little bit coming up a little bit later on today. So you don't want to mow the lawn if it's wet. And also, we've talked about this insofar as fertilizing the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good time, especially for St. Augustine and Zoysia, to go ahead and fertilize with that midsummer high nitrogen. Now, when I say now is the time, you could do it now and even into the very first of July. But what we want to do is to fertilize the lawn and get that high nitrogen on there just to give that grass a kick, mm-hmm. give it a summer kick, especially after all the rain, which has washed out a lot of the nutrients and such as that. And you need to add those in. That's why we fertilize it in the midsummer. So we're going to talk about that in a minute because, there's a little wrinkle to that if you have centipede grass. And I'm going to talk about this in a second. A new material I want to talk about that you may want to consider to put on your centipede grass. Here's the third thing that you don't want to do with all of this rain. And I know this is hard, but you don't want to put your trash in the street. We've preached that sermon before.
A little bit, yeah, but would it maybe be clarify?
Well, you don't want to do it because for a couple of reasons. One, you get this big rush of water, this rain coming down the gutter. It'll wash it all into the stormwater system, and where does all that go? All that goes into the bay, and that's just not good.
Mm-hmm.
Just not good. And a lot of people will tell you, well, I'm not going to put it in my yard because when the trash guy comes, he just digs a big hole with the equipment. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. They've got that really fixed, whereas you can have all these bags of trash and piles of limbs and all that you've pruned, and it won't affect the lawn at all.
Mm-hmm.
So put it in the yard if you can. Some people, you have a situation where you can't do that, but that's what I would do if you could. Now, we've also talked about fungicides on your favorite word. You ready?
Go for it.
Go for it.
Oh, I'm not
go
doing
for
it. I'm not
go
even. No, you do it.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Rhizoctonia brown patch fungus. Rhizoctonia.
I love it when you speak fungicide.
But here's the deal. The fungus, you're gonna recognize it if you've got this big spot in your yard,
mm-hmm.
and it's growing. But you can really tell if it's fungus if around the edges it's burnt brown. Kind of looks really kind of like it's been burned.
Ooh.
And if that's the case, then that's just going to get bigger and bigger. And you need to spray it with a fungicide, a spray. But here's the kicker for the rain. You can't spray a fungicide, in my opinion, unless you have 48 hours dryness.
Oh, really?
You tell me. When we're going to have 48 hours dry.
No kidding, especially
because
lately.
Because if you look forward, if you look at the long-term weather, we may have these 30, 40% chance of rain going all the way into next week. So if you do have the Rhizoctonia brown patch fungus, especially in St. Augustine grass, that's where it's going to get you. Just have it ready to go. Have it ready to go. And as soon as you get or can look in your crystal ball until it's not going to rain for 48 hours, then you can go ahead and spray with your fungicide. That's probably one of the keys to do it. In addition, I'm going to jump back to the mowing for a minute. Be sure that blade is sharp. Be sure that blade is sharp because you don't want to, as we've always said, rag off the top of that St. Augustine grass because then who takes over?
Mm-hmm.
The Rhizoctonia brown patch fungus. It just happens. If you open up that system by just tearing off that blade of grass, the fungus can come in. There's no question about it.
All right, we're going to have to take a quick break already. We're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's Expert Panel. It's Tuesday. That means it's the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Already got some texts coming in.
Oh, good.
Text your questions
good,
in
good,
all
good,
about
good.
Summer gardening and Rosettonian brown patch fungus.
Lee,
is that right?
You are so good.
Oh, I'm so excited. 850-437-1620. We'll be back right after the break.
County fair in the country sun.
I love this music. Sly and the Family Stone.
Oh,
here we are.
Sly.
Good morning. This is Pep Talk, paying homage to our Sly Stone today with his great music. Mike brought all this music in. So Mike Garden. Mike Wiggins is here with the Garden Line on Pep Talk.
There
and we've
go.
Got your
there
questions
we
as we get into the summer gardening and hot fun in the summertime.
And Sly was right. It is in Pensacola, hot fun in the summertime.
You betcha.
So much going on.
So much.
And if, by the way, just by chance, we have any of our visitors that are here.
Yes.
And listening to the Garden Line this morning.
And thinking, what is going on with this radio show?
What kind of garden show is that?
Right.
But anyway, if you're here, welcome to Pensacola. Good to have you. Enjoy.
All right. If you have a question for Mike about gardening, let's get serious now. 850-437-1620. First question out of the box this morning. I have a sandy area in my backyard where there used to be a hot tub. I would like to grow grass in that area. What can I do to make that happen?
Well, good question. Great question. And there's so many things that can be done to do that, to grow grass there. First of all, we might want to assume that since there was a hot tub there, that the ground may be compacted to some extent. So what you're going to do is to turn, maybe with a tiller or a shovel, depending on how big the area is, to turn it and loosen up that soil, get it nice and level and flat. And then it's time to put your grass on there. Now, keeping in mind, we need to be sure that, one, that it's in a sunny area. I have a feeling since the hot tub is here, there probably is. Also, that you have the ability to water in that area. That's critical, of course. So, anyways, time. You've got this bare dirt that's flat and soft, moist, if you will, because you want to water it, and put in your sod. But this is the big decision, of course, that we've talked about on the Garden Line for years. What grass are you going to put? Are you going to do Zoysia, St. Augustine, Centipede? Which one are you going to choose? All of them have advantages, and really some of them have disadvantages. But I would say at this point in time, the favorite in Pensacola is Zoysia. It looks good. You can mow it low. It does not get the fungus as bad as the St. Augustine grass. And it takes traffic much better than Centipede does. And, of course, it doesn't, as Centipede, has sort of a lifetime to it, a longevity situation. Insofar as 7, 8, 9 years, you kind of start seeing disintegration, that's the wrong word, but you end up with big spots after the dormant period. So, anyway, and the St. Augustine, as we've just said, has some of its own problems of its own. So I would consider Zoysia. Now, Zoysia is going to be a little more expensive than Centipede, maybe a little more expensive than St. Augustine. But the trick is to get that grass in there. When you sod it, you want to be sure it matches the other grass in your yard level-wise. In other words, you don't want to put the Zoysia in and have it be a little higher than the rest of your yard. And I'm talking about an inch or so, because that's why when you mow it, what you're going to do, you're going to rip it up. You're going to dig it out of the ground. So have it be sure it's all nice and level and kind of fits like a jigsaw puzzle, if you will, into your existing lawn. And then water it every day for, I'm saying 10 days, every day. Let the roots get going. Do not use weed killer. I would not use any fertilizer. I wouldn't fertilize it until September. And then just keep it watered. Mow it when it needs it. That's the key, because a lot of the experts, or what they said they were experts, used to say, sod your lawn and don't mow it for 6 weeks. No, don't do it. Don't do that. Mow it when it needs it, being very careful, once again, not to rip it up. So that's sort of what to do if you're going to put sod into that area that was previously had a hot tub.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that question.
Great
if you've
question.
Got a question, 850-437-1620. Along that lines, our next question says, as you brought up centipede grass, can you address the issue with high, let's see, it says, with high dead spots, with huge dead spots, excuse me, of centipede grass that came about a year ago or a year and a half ago, right after the hard freeze? How do you amend those areas?
Well, really what you do, if it's a bare spot, is do exactly what we just talked about. Exactly what you just talked about. Now, you can plug it with little plugs of centipede and put them on 5 to 6 inch centers. But I would just go ahead and sod that area, prepare it, just like we just talked about, and go ahead and sod it. Now, the centipede, it's got those big spots, could be part of the longevity problem we talked about. If that centipede yard has been in for 7, 8, 9 years, that could be the problem. But here's another big problem that centipede gets is traffic. If when that centipede goes dormant, if you have a lot of traffic, the kids are playing soccer or it's in an area, say, where you take your trash can out twice a week, you many times after the dormant season, that grass doesn't come out as it should. Now, St. Augustine and Zoysia are much better with traffic, but centipede is not. So that could easily be the problem. But I do think you need to go ahead, get the area prepared, put in your new grass, whichever one you pick. You're going to want to put centipede to match the rest of your lawn. So get that centipede and keep it watered, and I think you'll be okay.
All right. Got questions coming in. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. 850-437-1620. It's time to take another break, but we'll be back with your questions. And please send those on in. This is Pep Talk with Meg and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Got another question for you, Mike. Mark Dellinger here, it says.
What do you say, Mark?
Mark had a tree removed after settling. What is the best thing to level low spots on top of St. Augustine, surrounding something the grass will grow through?
That's a good question. I'm assuming he got the roots out of the tree that was removed. And it sounds like there's some grass in the area that he wants to cultivate and have it grow back good. I think if you're going to do something to level it off, white builder sand is probably a good way to do it. You can use that in your yard. Many people, over the years, I hadn't seen much of it lately, will put these red clay soil over their whole yard in the spring. No. You don't want to do that. But if you've got undulations, after like taking this tree out, that white builder sand is a good way to build that up. Now, obviously, if this is a bigger area, you may be into the resodding business. But if there's grass there and there's low spots, that white builder sand will work. Now, if you need to get it on and rake it good so some of that grass is peeking out from that sand, because if you just gob it on there, you might not have anything come back.
Mm-hmm.
But put it on there lightly. You may have to have multiple applications of this sand to get your levels right. But I think that's where Mark is coming from, and that's what I would do.
Okay. All right. So we're going to come back in just a few minutes here with The Garden Line. Anything you want to add to that thought?
No, but I do think if people want to level spots in their yard, that is a good way to do it, just like we talked to Mark about with some white sand. That's the way to do it.
With the white sand.
Absolutely. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about going back to that centipede grass question a minute ago, and talk about a new, not new, it's as old as the hills. we haven't talked about it much on The Garden Line. That's why it's new. Product that you may want to consider as your mid-summer application to the centipede grass. We'll talk about that when we get back.
All right. We're listening to The Garden Line, always on Tuesdays at this time. We also replay this broadcast on Saturday morning, so you can hear it. And you can find it on our website at newsradio923.com. Click on podcast, expert panel, and you can also click on The Garden Line, because we put all The Garden Line episodes there every week. So you can look back over the years and see the subject, and maybe it'll help you with your gardening. We're going to be back in just a couple minutes right here on News Radio 923.
Yeah.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, more Sly Stone from back in the day, Everyday People. One of my favorite songs.
And you're right. You know, it's really funny, but, you know, when Sly passed away this week, you kind of look back at all his songs and you had forgotten that he did a lot of these songs that enjoyed so much.
It's so true. If you just joined us, you're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel.
This is our own tribute to Sly Stone.
Yeah, this is the Garden Line, but it turns out that Mike and I both have an affinity for this artist, and we just wanted to pay tribute to him this morning.
Absolutely.
But we're not going to forget you and your gardening questions.
No, it's time to roll. It's time to roll on that.
All right, here we go.
What you got?
All right, let me pull this question up here. Oh, we had a great picture someone sent in of their neighbor's blooming century plant. Now, I've never seen this before. Tell us about a century plant, Mike.
Well, some of this, I think, may be urban legend. People who own century plants, if you're listening, please tell me if I'm on the right track. But what I've always understood, century plants, number one, are a great plant for dry, hot areas, like the beach.
Mm-hmm.
There's some beautiful century plants at the beach. It's a succulent. It keeps a lot of moisture within, kind of like a cactus, if you will. But after so many years, and they call it a century plant, so maybe it's 100 years, I'm not sure, it sends up this huge stalk. It looks like a tree.
You should see this picture. It's 20 feet tall.
Exactly. It's a two-story house, and it's over
the two-story
the two
house.
Stories.
It's wild.
And it looks kind of like a tree coming out of the century plant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once again, this may be urban legend, will tell you that once that bloom, I will call it a bloom, has come up, that plant will die. And that's it.
That seems sad to me.
That is kind of sad. And maybe that's not totally true. If somebody is listening that has a century plant that has done that, sent up that bloom,
stalk,
if you will.
It looks like a tree.
Stalk. Yeah, it does look like a tree. Let us know. Let us know if your plant survives that or not. I would love to hear that. But overall, I've just heard it all my life that those century plants, once they do that, it's all over.
Well, and I recognize the phone number here, so I don't have a name, but it is a Georgia area code. I do recognize the 770 area code. So let us know what happens to this plant. Let us know what happens now that it's bloomed so high.
Please do.
We'd love to know.
Yes.
All right, got another question for you.
Yeah,
and
ma'am.
That is, let's see, what is the grass that has the little shoots that come up to it with a V on top? It looks like it's when it goes to seed with a question mark. Is that Bahia or centipede?
No, that is Bahia.
Bahia, sorry,
that's
I mispronounced
Bahia.
It.
And keep in mind, there are two types of Bahia.
Mm-hmm.
There's Pensacola Bahia and Argentine Bahia. Now, down south, they use more of that for lawns, but I've always used as an example, and golly, I haven't checked it for years since my kids went to Washington High School. When they built Washington High School and sodded it, they used Bahia grass.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be sure it's still there, but that's what they did. Now, you don't want to use Pensacola Bahia because just like our text says, it sends up the big stalk with the V with the black seeds on it.
Hmm.
Yes, and it will grow overnight.
Oh, really?
But it is so hardy that DOT, Department of Transportation, will use it on right-of-ways on interstates and that type of thing. So it's a good grass. Now, the Pensacola Bahia is the one you don't want. It just sends up so many of those stalks. The Argentine will send up some,
mm-hmm.
but it's not as many, and it grows a little thicker than that Pensacola Bahia.
So is that common around here?
Oh, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. So many folks will get Bahia grass in their lawn and try to get rid of it. It's very difficult. Obviously, your pre-emergence weed killers might help. But if you've got St. Augustine or centipede grass and you've got Bahia coming up in it, there's not much one can do in a post-emergence environment to spray without damaging your good grass.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's Argentine Bahia and Pensacola. It's everywhere.
Huh, yes. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was going to comment today, too. I wanted to share with you because I thought of you. I was driving into Gulf Breeze this weekend, and they have these beautiful pink flowers all lined up in the median. I don't know what it is. It's like a bush or something. Do you know what that is? I was going to ask you if you knew what it was. I meant to take a picture.
I don't know.
Oh, it looks, they do such a beautiful job with the landscaping out there.
Oh, that they do. One pink flower that I've seen used, matter of fact, I saw it in Phoenix, Arizona it was an oleander, a dwarf oleander, and it had pink blossoms on it.
Right.
So
it's gorgeous because as soon as you come in, you can see the surfboard sign. But there's,
really?
I mean, it's a good, 100 yards of this beautiful pink.
Really?
Pink bushes. And I don't know what it is.
I don't know either.
Okay. Well, I was just curious because I don't think it's azalea. It's not azalea. It looks like something else.
Here's what you've got to do. In the dead of night, you've got to sneak over there and just kind of get a little clipping.
No.
Get me a couple leaves and a bloom, and I bet we can figure it out.
I'm doing a picture instead. I value my free time.
But you know what you can do? You know what you can do? What we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, here's a plant. We don't know what it is.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Use your Picture This app.
Okay.
On your phone. You don't even have to sneak over there. You can just walk over from the Dunkin' Donuts.
It's right there. It's exactly where it is. It's
exactly.
That center
median. And just take a picture of it, and your application on your phone will tell you exactly what it is, how to take care of it, where it grows, everything, and more than you wanted to know.
Well, it's whatever it is, it's thriving. It looks just gorgeous.
Well, promise me you'll do it. Well,
okay,
I will. You don't have to promise me.
I will. I'll do it. I'll take care of it. I will definitely do that.
Listen.
All right, so this morning we had our morning show host, Andrew McKay, was talking about how he does not clean his coffee mugs. So we did get a comment for you, Mike, which is pretty funny. It says, I'll bet Mike Wiggins' back garden beds are cleaner than Andrew McKay's coffee cup.
It's not a very high bar to reach. Let's put it that way.
I had to say it because I think that's hilarious. That's very.
His coffee cup was gross.
It was scary. It really was, y'all.
It was horrible. It was just horrible.
I mean, I just have no words.
Exactly. But we all have our problems with our flower beds this time of year. The weeds just keep coming. And with this rain, that just keeps promoting the weeds in your yard. And, of course, what do you do in your flower beds in order to, you know, to do better than Andrew's coffee cup? One, you can pick them out by hand, or one can use Roundup as long as you can spray in your beds and not get the material on the plant.
When is the best time to do that?
The hotter and the drier, the better.
In the morning, afternoon, in the afternoon
it really
sun?
It doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
Long as it's very, this time of year, if you sprayed a piece of St. Augustine, please, nobody do this. In the dead of winter, it might not do a thing because it really needs. Because what happens is Roundup will translocate into the root of the weed and kill the weed, the root, and all. Now, keep in mind one thing. Roundup has, I don't want to say deservedly so, that's probably not fair, but Roundup has had some major legal problems. And the original Roundup that we used for years had a chemical called glyphosate in it. Well, the Roundup looks like the same exact container when you go buy it, but it's not glyphosate anymore. It's another chemical that basically does the same thing. And so that's
so it's safe now.
Now when you say safe, here's what I think. If you're going to use what I call a non-selective herbicide, that's where I want you to get one of your COVID masks out, your safety glasses, your long sleeve shirt, long pants. I shouldn't say just the non-selective, really any weed killer or really any insecticide. Dress the part because you just need to stay safe. You really do. We've all got masks at home now, so that's easy just to put on one of those. But do all of that. I think if you read the fine print on most of the insecticides and herbicides, you'll find that type of verbiage, whereas it says, this is what you need to do to be safe.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much for the questions this morning. Still got plenty of time to send them in at 850-437-1620. If you just joined us, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. And on Tuesdays at this time, it's always the Garden Line with our expert, Mike Wiggins. So we'll be back in just a couple minutes right after the break. There you go. A little more Sly and the Family Stone this morning.
There you go.
You're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's
Good
Expert
job,
Panel
man.
With Mike
Good
Wiggins
job.
On the Garden Line, per request by our host. So we did get a really cool answer. We want to talk about that century plant again?
Yes, talk about that. We got a great text.
So apparently Steven on Escambia Bay, and he's texted into the show on many occasions, and he says it looks like the mother plant. We were talking earlier about the century plant that's grown up to be about 20 feet tall. It says it looks like the mother's plant is giving its life for the stalk.
Now, when Meg, over the break, when Meg read that text, I thought it was going to bring her to tears because it was just kind of sad.
It's just sad because it's so beautiful. And it says, but he said, I read yesterday that the plant blooms about every 10 to 30 years.
That makes more sense than every 100 years.
But to give
it,
its life for the stalk, it's so beautiful.
It is
I don't know.
Beautiful.
There's something about that got to me. Maybe I need more
goodness.
Coffee. I don't know. Yeah. Or more Sly. I don't know.
Thanks for that. So that's interesting information. It really is.
Okay. Got another question for you.
Yeah,
any
ma'am.
Advice for growing coneflowers? I live in the north end of the county and have some clay in our soil, but not super compacted.
Yeah, I think some people call it pine cone flowers.
Oh, she said cone flowers. I'm not sure.
Cone flowers,
if that's...
exactly. I think you're talking about a perennial
mm-hmm.
here in Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to do that, then generally you need full sun. May not be totally necessary. A little filtered sun. Some good organic material when you plant it. Canadian sphagnum peat moss, fertilize it, oh my goodness, 2 to 3 times a year, and I think you're going to do fine. They'll do fine here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good plan. Absolutely.
Oh, great.
It's
okay.
One of our perennials that we did not talk about.
Right, on your long list that we didn't get to everything.
We didn't get to those. We may get to some more later today, but
we're
about to run out of time.
I know already. 850-437-1620. This is the Garden Line. Perfect time to answer questions. We've been talking about grass and lawns and fertilizer and Roundup. We've covered a lot of different topics already, but no question is out of bounds, so please text in those questions.
Bring it on. What I did want to do is go back to that fertilization midsummer.
Yes. Okay.
We talked about that. I think we talked about it at length last week. Whereas you want to use, generally, if you've got any of the fertilizer, not weed and feed, please, none of that, but any of the fertilizer, like a 1608, a 2244, something with a lot of the first number, which is nitrogen, you can use the same thing. Same thing midsummer for St. Augustine and Zoysia. But as we've said, you don't want it for centipede. And we talked about using ironite, which is a product that has a little iron, granular iron. And we also talked about milorganite, which is an organic product out of the city of Milwaukee sewage system.
Really?
So, exactly. But there's one that I really kind of forgot to talk about that is really, really old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
It's called cottonseed meal. Cottonseed meal, obviously, is a byproduct of the cotton industry.
Right.
But it's a really good plant, fertilizer, I should say, because it really promotes the acidity of the soil, which centipede likes. Plus, it's very organic. It's very slow release. And it is a good product if you think your centipede needs a kind of a kick, if you will, midsummer, if it's kind of washed out
mm-hmm.
with all this rain, it may be. Cottonseed meal is an option. The other two, the ironite and the milorganite, are good too. But cottonseed meal, it's just an old agricultural product that I just don't think is used very much. Now, I know it is available in the Fertilome line of products. Fertilome is a brand name that I know a lot of people, I say a lot of people, folks in Pensacola, like Pensacola Seed and Garden, I think Werner's Turf has some Fertilome. Fertilome has another kind of a side brand, if you will, called High Yield. So you may find that cottonseed meal in the High Yield brand. Their High Yield brand is a little less expensive than their regular Fertilome brand. But in any event, consider the cottonseed meal when it comes. Now, just like the other ones, the high nitrogen products, do your arithmetic insofar as how much fertilizer to use per square feet. You don't want to, especially this midsummer kick we're giving it, you don't want to overdo, because you overdo, you could easily burn the grass. It's so hot. And as we said earlier, the last thing you want to do is to put your summer fertilizer on if the lawn is wet. Because what will happen, those granules, which contain all that nitrogen, will stick to the blades on a wet blade of grass and not get down into the turf where it's needed. So you've got to water them all in. So if you've got this crystal ball at home and the grass is dry, but it's going to rain in the afternoon and you know it's going to rain, you're positive it's going to rain, put your fertilizer out and let the rain water it in.
There you go. That's a great idea. Right,
exactly. But you really do need that crystal. In Pensacola, you really do need that crystal ball.
Okay.
You just don't know.
So many great questions coming in this morning. Still a few minutes left. If you have one, 850-437-1620. Our expert, Mike Wiggins with The Garden Line, will be back right after the break. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Mike, what you got?
Well, a couple things. Follow up on a call from last week. A gentleman called about bagworms.
That's right.
Bagworms,
he sure did.
Bagworms are gross. They really are. They're little bags, and they have a worm in it that gets out and really attacks your conifers, if you will. Well, your junipers and your cypress.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what they do. They go out, and they really can destroy those particular seeds. And we talked about last week what to do about them.
Okay.
And so we talked about spraying them if you could, maybe spraying them with a systemic that works through the plant, you know, to get the worm. Because once they get mature, there's not much one can do.
Right.
Except, and this is no fun, picking them off. And of course, the fellow we talked to on the phone last week said, Mike, no way. There's just too many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another way to do it. But I mentioned it because there's another Fertilome. Remember we talked about Fertilome a minute ago?
Yes.
It has a whole line of agricultural and for homeowners. Spinosad. Spinosad is an ingredient in one of their products called bagworm control.
Okay.
And it's organic. It's very, very similar to, this is another one of your favorite words, of the Bacillus thuringiensis, which is the spray and granular, either one, or really a powder, that are organic, that you can use very safely, but they do kill certain insects, worms in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So, spinosad, I just want to mention that name because if you go looking for Bacillus, we'll call it BT, Bacillus thuringiensis BT. If you go looking for that and you see that spinosad, that would also maybe help you control those bagworms because they really are a pain in the neck.
Are they seasonal or year-round?
It's seasonal. It's going to happen in the spring and summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's when you're going to get it. But I'll tell you, I've seen people who had these beautiful, beautiful cypress, for example, And they'll really get to it. And a lot of times they'll get the lower level of the plant. And
right.
It's awfully hard for that plant to recover from that.
Well, that's
it
a
really
shame.
Is. Oh, it is. But try some of these other products, which are, you know, the BT and the spinosad are organic materials that are only for worms. Just give it a try. But all the literature will tell you, once it gets, they get mature, it's very hard for the chemicals to control them.
So then what do you do? Just remove the plant itself or?
What I would do, you might have to do some judicious pruning.
Mm-hmm.
It may have affected just maybe a part of the plant, so you can go just prune it out, if you will, and then just cross your fingers that it will come back from that damage. Many times it will not.
Well, that's not good, but okay, it's good to know. What's it called again? The
spinosad.
Spinosad.
Spinosad, or Bacillus thuringiensis.
Bacillus thuringiensis.
You got it.
Did I?
Yeah,
oh, yay. New words. Racta, what the bit of it? And then Vasilius says it. I'm learning every day. I'm taking notes.
Meg, thanks for the tribute to Sly today. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hope our audience was okay with that.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
Anyway, we'll be back next week.
We sure will. So get those questions ready. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. You can hear it again on Saturday mornings and also on our podcast. Hope you had a great day. Happy gardening. We'll be back after the news with Pep Talk.